Partnering with God to Write Your Book with Valerie Bennett.
I don't want to kill time, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. And we've got a couple of folks as they're walking in. We'll do that. I'm Valerie Bennett, and y'all are all here because you want to hear how to partner with God to write your story or write your book. And I just want to say what a privilege it is and an honor to absolutely be standing here right now, mostly because this is not my day job. My day job is not a writer. And I'm just like each one of you in my walk and my journey to write this book. So my whole goal here today is, when I originally started this process, I had all this scripture in there and I buried all kinds of fun stuff in there. And I completely took all that stuff out of there because I wanted everybody to see that I'm just a real person. I'm just like everybody else. And that the writing experience and partnering with God has just three principles. So we're going to cover all those principles. Everybody has a handout because we're going to do that kind of at the end to kind of get you to take that next step. So this is really outside my comfort zone today. This is... my day job, I'm in sales. I work for a large bank. I'm a lending manager on home lending. So this is not my wheelhouse. So just so you know that I am speaking, no problem. Standing in front of people, no problem. All that stuff. But what we're going to talk about today is really what's on my heart and what my journey has been in going through this. And co-writing my book with God and what that experience looked like. And I am only a writer because of the grace of God. It had nothing to do with anything with me personally. It was truly what he gave me. And standing here today, I'm just like each one of you. It's funny how y'all like all separated yourselves everywhere. I love that. But you are in my seat. Because I'm always the one that has to sit in the front because I never want to miss anything.
I think so, I actually sat in the same seat yesterday with the other sessions.
I love that. So I will look at you a lot because you're literally sitting in my seat. So one of the things that along my journey that I realized is I wanted to make a difference every single day. And I truly wanted to leave a legacy. And in doing that, there were certain things that had to happen, and certain God had to like open some doors for me. He had to line things out for me. He had to set things up for me. It was nothing that I could do on my own. So you're going to see my journey took a long time. So I can look back, and I can absolutely see God's handprints from the very beginning, from the very beginning of when I first got the idea for the story, all the way through the process, every door that he opened, every door he closed, everything he did for me, I can see his handprints all over everything. My first draft, multiple drafts after that, and then all the way down to my published book. I literally can see his handprints all over everything. So, the moral to the story is God's in it if you let him be in it. If you close the door to him, you can't hear him, you can't see him, you can't feel him, nothing. So what I want to do is spend the next 20, 25 minutes or so telling you about what it looks like to partner with God on your book writing journey. And you're going to see a little bit of what mine looked like. I have my book with me. I have some prompt things that I have used. And I think you'll find a little bit of humor in this. So the number one thing. So I'm going to cover three things today. The first one is going to be listening and looking for God's prompting. So when you look at the little worksheet that I made up, it's very simple. It's very basic. One of them is listening. One of them is understanding. And the third one is following. So those are going to be the three things that we're going to cover. We'll talk about the worksheet later. If you want to write on the back of it, use it for notes. However you want, it's yours. So listening and looking for God's promptings, you have to be open. That's the first step, is be open and willing to listen or look for things that God is placing in front of you so that you have that ability. You have to be still because we are in a very busy world. There's a lot of things that come at us from a lot of different directions. You know, your text messages are going off, your phone's ringing, you know, the dog's barking, you know, the cat's meowing, you know, the cars are driving. There's all kinds of things that are going on everywhere in our world. So you have to give yourself that chance to just be still and be able to listen and hear and be open to those promptings. And looking for those signs, don't brush things off as coincidence. We get in a world where it's like that's just a coincidence. Huh. Don't be so quick to judge that. Maybe not. You know, from the very beginning, God has a plan. And when you're open to that plan, he's going to give you little things all along the way. And you'll see them as you go. Some people call them God winks. Some people call them, you know, other little things. I read a book called God Winks. That's where I got that from. So don't brush things off as coincidence. Take it to heart. It may not mean anything today because as I look backwards in my process, I see the fingerprints. I didn't see them at the time. But now in that look back, it's like, okay, I get it. I know why you sent me that. I know I saw that. I know I heard that. I know why you said that to me or why you said that to me. I know those all things, everything starts to come back together again. So don't brush those things off as coincidences. And the other thing is unclutter your mind. There's a lot of things that we clutter our minds with. We clutter our minds with a lot of things. So when you're being still, unclutter your mind so that you have that, you're open, you're listening, you're looking for prompts. Unplug. I know that's hard because you can see where my phone is. Right there. Step away from social media. I'm probably the only person in this room that doesn't have Facebook. Okay, so see how we are connected here. Yes. I do not have Facebook, and I'll be very vulnerable and tell you why. Because I know I would stalk everybody I know.
I feel like it's looking in their windows.
Yes, exactly. So, and I know that I probably would lose my job. I would probably be sleepless because I would literally be on there all the time. So that's one of the things about me. So step away from social media. Anything that's a distraction to you, if there's something that distracts you, step away from it. God might wake you up in the middle of the night. So I'm going to share something that happened to me this morning. I had everything done yesterday. I worked all day yesterday. Last night, I printed everything. I was all ready to go. At 4:17 this morning, I woke up. And I got some words. It's like, you need to change this. You need to change that. Fix this word. I don't like the way you did this. Not necessarily in that word, but... So I'm like, okay. So there I was at 4:17 this morning with my laptop, fixing the things and changing things because it all made sense and it all like came together then. And then I reprinted again so that I was prepared for today. So that wasn't a coincidence. So, and I could have brushed it off and just went back to sleep and just ignored it. But I didn't because it was a prompt. So you're going to get those prompts, too, in writing your story and writing your book. So be prepared for it. I always say have paper and pen next to your bed or be willing to dictate into your phone, into your notes, something. Because what's going to happen if you don't do it right then, you're going to step away from it and you're going to forget it. And if you're like me, I live in a world of sticky notes. And I write everything on sticky notes. So I think I keep Post-it in business in every off-brand of sticky note because if they come in a really cool color, I want that too. So be open for that. If God wakes you up, make sure that you're open, you're listening, you're hearing. And he may prompt you with something that's visual, something that's inspirational. You know, those of you that on social media of different things, I'm on Instagram and everything else. It's not Facebook. There's things that I see on there that it speaks to me. And it's like, okay, I get it. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. or I'll hear something or something visual. I'll be driving down the street and you see a billboard or a bumper sticker. Something speaks to you. Don't look those things as coincidence either. Don't brush them off. They all will come together at some point as a meaning. So what are some ways that God has prompted you? I mean, in this journey, you're all here for a reason. You have something on your heart. You may have already started writing, but what are some things that have prompted any of you? Yes, ma'am. I absolutely 100% agree. And that's such a great, I always call them shares, because when you look back at that and you think it was all wrapped around something that was special for you, it was your birthday, and there were gifts, and it was a visual. So not only did you, you know, hear, but you also saw. So that's what is like is prompting you to want to take that next step. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Everything was said, "You are my miracle." And I said, "What's up, Miss Leather? You had to bring me back or something?" She said, "No. I thought I was going to have to put a pacemaker in."
So those were your prompts. So amazing prompts. I mean, and now maybe when you were standing right in the midst of all that, you didn't see everything. But now as you're looking back, it's like God picks up the Dr. In Essence tells him to, picks up the phone, call somebody who's a believer, and gets you in with that person that's a believer.
And I have not asked that of the four
but prior
servants
amazing.
That I saw prior to that. They
amazing.
Didn't give me that.
Warm, fuzzy feeling you were looking for.
That comfort.
Yep,
really,
absolutely.
When it comes to medical decisions or medical choices. But it showed me that I was looking for a support group.
Mm-hmm.
But all he kept wanting me to do was look.
Reach out to him, yeah.
So through all of this, even my now 7-year recovery, he keeps saying to me, "My story, your glory."
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling me,
write your story. Yes, absolutely. Anyone else have a share real quick? So, yes, absolutely.
It's born out of the passion that we have because everybody has something, that everybody has pain that they go through. Everybody has, or story, his story, how he goes through whatever it is that we have. And so if there's something that God does for me, through me, in me, that I can share my message and alleviate the pain that you are in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it's about.
Partnering together, absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
I belong to a writing club where we have a topic in once a month and 350 words of response that we share later when we meet. And so every month it's like, okay, God, here's the topic. What do you want me to write? What do you want me to write? And so sometimes he'll give it to me pieces. And he'll bring things to my memory because I'll be like, oh, I don't even know how to connect. He brings things to my memory, and then sometimes it's the night before.
Procrastination, right?
Yeah. And it starts at 10.
Right.
But then when it does, it all flows, and then whenever I share it, it's the Holy Spirit has just got me in almost tears at times, and sometimes it's something light and funny, and it's just really a blessing.
So,
it is,
but it's his timing, not ours, so which is really amazing. So your share is all about you're waiting on him. You know he's going to come through for you. You know he's going to give what you need to you. It's just you have to wait for it. And that's the hardest part, that waiting piece. So we're going to go on to the next part. It's understanding those promptings. So we've covered a little bit of this in this part of what we're talking about, but it may be right now, understanding that it's now that you need to write your book. It's right now. It may be not now. It's not no. We all know that. It's not no. It's either now or not now. Because if it's no, you know that God's not in it. That's you. And that's the devil in your head planting fear and insecurity that's telling you no. So it's not no, it's not now, or it's now. And wait, we just talked about wait. It's hard. It's hard. I waited 19 years to publish my book. 19 years. Yes. So, do you pray before you write? Are you going to be a prayer before you write? That you're going to, you know, pray that the Lord gives you the words? Are you going to ask others to pray for you? Are you going to be that person that, you know, is vulnerable enough to say, hey, I'm going to go on this writing journey. Will you go with me? I had a lot of people praying over my book and me being able to write and me being able to get along with my daughter, Erica Bennett, who you've all heard about in there. That's my oldest daughter, because she was my editor. And what was that going to look like?
So it was a lot. Yeah. We'll talk about that. I don't know how many are familiar with Mark Batterson. We saw him in there a little bit. I am a huge Mark Batterson fan. So he wrote a book called The Circle Maker. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. He followed that up with Draw the Circle. So The Circle Maker is all around drawing circles around your prayers. And Draw the Circle is about actually doing it. So it's really interesting that now people see, like, my journals, my books, my my day planner. I'm not a digital day planner. I still have the written one, and I write everything in there. And I have circles around things, and, you know, I color around them and stuff like that, things that stand out to me. So think about stuff like that. If you have a story, a book, something on your mind, draw a circle around it and pray about it. Because it's that doing that function of actually drawing the circle around it. My goal, I want to retire one day in North Carolina. So I actually, this is really crazy, but actually was on a path. There was a stepping stone that was in the shape of North Carolina. And I have my feet right next to it and have a picture of it. And I have it a big circle drawn around it. It's weird things like that. That was a prompting. That was a prompt. That was God put that in front of me. I saw it. I noticed it and went, oh, that looks just like the state of North Carolina. So anyway.
So is it a natural rock that just happened?
No, it was a flagstone. It was just the way it was cut, I guess, the way they made that little path. It's bizarre. I'll show it to you if you want to see it.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah. So if you have a story on your heart, mine was on my heart for 19 years. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Don't let anything get in your way of writing your story. So then you have to decide, what kind of writer are you? Are you a longhand writer? Do you need legal pads? You gonna write everything hand, you know, hand write everything out? Is that where your comfort zone is? Or are you gonna type it? So there's benefits to both. Handwriting, how many times are you gonna go back and erase? Write it in pen and it'll make you not do it. Go back and erase things and fix things. But if you type it, it's easy to go back and keep, like, adding and changing and things. So we're going to talk about that too. So do you scribble on sticky notes? How about the back of receipts? So when they asked me to do this conference, I have a crazy job. So these were my notes. This is how I got started. It's written sideways because I ran out of space going this way, so I started writing sideways, and it's on the back. But this is all I could find in my purse at the time. So this is what I wrote on. This was my start to this conference. So, you know, I jot notes on the back of receipts. Whatever it takes, keep them together. When I started writing my book, I had a legal pad because I thought that was the route I was going to take, and it turned out with a bunch of sticky notes stuck on the legal pad. Never wrote one word on that legal pad, but I had sticky notes all over it. To get started. Do you play music for inspiration? You know, if you play music, does that get you in that mode to be able to write and think through things and hear God's promptings and understand what his promptings are? Where do you have to be? What zone do you have to get into? Is it jazz? Is it gospel? Is it country? Is it Christian music? You know, what kind of music, you know, gets you to that point that you... Okay, so no music. There will be no music during writing time, because that's exactly when that happened.
Use it as a distraction.
Yes, exactly. Use it as it will be a distraction. How about having the TV on for background noise? Sometimes people do that. Do you need a quiet space? Do you write in a coffee shop? I was the writer are you a morning writer, afternoon writer, are you a late night writer? You know, I had two specific places that I felt comfortable writing. One was in my living room, on my couch, with my feet up, no table or anything, with my laptop on my lap. And the other was on my pool deck, just sitting out there and with my feet up, but it was in the morning because before it got too hot to sit out there. So you kind of have to find your spot where you're most comfortable. Erica will tell you she does her best writing in a coffee shop. I'm a squirrel. I got to look at you, and you came in the door, the door opened, I got to look up, and, you know, I hear a noise, and I got to look.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she does amazing in a coffee shop. Yep, not me. So understand God's promptings for you individually and how that works. And then the last step is following God's will and taking that next step. Buy those legal pads. If you're going to write on a legal pad, go buy them. Take that first step. If you're going to write on a computer and you don't have a computer, go buy a computer. Get yourself ready. Get yourself set up. If you're going to write on sticky notes, go get you some sticky notes. If you're going to write on the backs of receipts, make sure you got some stuffed in your wallet or your purse because you're going to need them. And start out by writing a little bit every day. Write because you want to, not because you have to. Set goals for a daily word count. So I brought a couple of prompts with me today because I always get a kick out of this. I'm a huge journaler. So this is my life in journaling. So when I journal, and I put pictures in there and different business cards or receipts and stuff. But my whole world, everything is in a journal. So it was just perfect timing. So when I wrote my book, there would be a journal to go with it. So my beautiful daughter would leave me sticky notes because she knows that's what gets to my heart. So I have all kinds of sticky notes that she left me. You know what pairs nicely with a cup of Joe? 200 words. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is the nonsense I got from her. No joke. A good life is when you dream big and write 250 words. You can see this was in the beginning because I struggled. I love you when you write 100 words. Today is a day. Write 300 words. That's when she got on my nerves. Yeah, when we went to that. And then it's take the day off. When I got that sticky note, oh my gosh, I didn't know what to do with myself. She gave me a day off. And then, do you want to build a snowman? Wait, no. How about writing 250 words? So those are the kind of things that she did for me in those little sticky notes, the little prompts and stuff like that. She held me accountable. If you have a prayer partner through this process, ask them to hold you accountable. If you want to finish your book in a certain period of time, give them that time period. Know how big you want your book to be. What are you looking to goal for? How many words are going to be in that book? Break it down in small pieces, divide it out, and ask them to hold you accountable. She held me accountable. It made me crazy, but it got my book done. And it got it published. Yes, ma'am.
And were those 200 words always on your book?
Yes, they were, but it was a stretch in the beginning, and I'll share about that in just a minute, but the very beginning, getting 200 words out of me was sort of like pulling every tooth out of my head with a pair of pliers.
How long did it take?
To write the book?
200 words.
In the beginning, all day, because I just couldn't make it happen, but at the end, I could blow out 2,000 words. Once I got into that rhythm, the first step was the hardest for me. It was the hardest. It's going to get easier. So start out small. Don't try to write a chapter and be done and go, done with my first chapter. Oh, okay. I apparently need to talk faster. So don't try to be perfect, okay? Get the words on paper. Do not try to go back and make everything perfect and every sentence and every punctuation and everything. Do not try to be perfect the first time out. Your first draft will accomplish all the fixes, okay? So get the words on the paper. Let your concern not be punctuation, not be paragraph formatting, none of that stuff. That's all going to come later. Your goal and your co-writing with God is getting those words on the paper. Get them on the paper. So your first draft is going to accomplish, it's going to help you with, your editor is going to go through your punctuation, your paragraph formatting, all that stuff. You co-writing with God and letting Him be your co-writer is getting the words on that piece of paper, in the computer, on that legal pad, on those sticky notes, on those little receipts, whatever that looks like for you. Your job is to get the words on. On the paper. Okay, so that thought just went through my head. We are sitting here in a church. I am talking about partnering with God to write your book, and all we're getting is distractions. We've had lightning. We've had Mr. out there with the blower thing. I mean, think about it.
That means people in here are going to do big things.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen to that. Yes, ma'am.
Say I put everything on a legal pad. You know, I hang on to it for months, but just keep adding to it. Do I send that to whoever the editor or whatever?
You can. You would mail it, yeah. You probably want to make copies and then work with your editor. Yeah, they'll work with you that way. Yeah, you're going to get the red line though.
That's okay, because I do what you do. I'm right here, and mm-hmm. I got a gazillion notes. But
I got away from it, and I became a big girl and got my computer.
I can't.
So that's what works for you. So you will work with an editor that will work with you on that format. And they're there. That's what they're there to do.
Did you hear Don say how his second book he just wrote by talking? Recording it and then send it to the editor?
Yeah, so it can. But they'll work with you on that. So don't let that be your excuse.
My excuse right now is that I can't afford any of what they showed us, even though with discounts. God will make a way.
I was just getting ready to say.
Yes,
God will make a way for that. I can promise you.
I promise you. Right?
Mm-hmm. I told you what I did with it.
Well,
I ended up under a truck.
You still got it, right?
I still do.
So don't be a perfectionist. Don't write, rewrite, 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 rewrite. Don't do that. Just get the words on the paper. And remember that God is your co-writer. He's going to give you the words if you ask Him and if you listen. If you get stuck, take a break. Step away from it and go back. But you heard in there, don't quit. There's no quitters. You can't quit, okay? And don't forget, at the very end, when you publish your book, give God the glory.
Absolutely.
Give Him the glory. So are you guys ready to have your book co-written by God?
Absolutely.
So let me tell you my story, and then we'll do a little bit with the exercise. So God prompted me to make up a bedtime story for my youngest daughter, Sarah. He gave me the idea to tell her the story. And there was not enough books in the library, not enough books on the bookshelf to help this child that had this desire to hear one story after another. So I just started making them up. So this particular story was over 7 nights. So the story is built, part of the story is each night. So I could build on it each night. So I didn't have to have 7 books. I only had to have one story. I just kept adding to it. And then on the 7th night, it's like the grand finale. So he kept that story on my heart for years. I mean, it came up in all kinds of different ways, 19 years. He gave me the ability to remember precisely the story. I remembered every detail, including what my main character, Missy, was wearing when I told the story. So I know other people told stories about, kings and queens and princes and castles and stuff, and I told a story about a mice in a dollhouse. She had one of those Little Tykes, I think it was. No, it wasn't Little Tykes. Little People, I think it was Little People. Dollhouse, okay? And it had the pink roof and everything. Well, it was in her bedroom, so it was easy for me to play off of that. So I just used them. We had cats, so how appropriate would I have to tell a story about mice? So while everybody else was, all the kings, queens, princesses, and prince charmings, I was telling about mice in a dollhouse. Anyway, he kept the story alive for me all the way through. I'm looking outside. Look at that rain out there.
Oh,
He continued to prompt me year after year after year. There was always something that would come up. I would see things. I would hear things. All during those 19 years, I never once considered myself a writer, so I ignored everything. I never looked at anything that I can look back now and go, okay, well, I missed that, you know, both a long time ago. But as I grew in my walk with the Lord, I started seeing more clearly the prompts and what I was missing. And then I started seeing how he was putting all the pieces together. And I get the chills when I think about this, because here's how it came together. Erica, my oldest daughter, who's here, she majored in English in college. That was her passion. Step one. Her first job out of college, an editor. Her first employer out of college, Zulon. A Christian book publisher that's sponsoring this conference. It became clear at that time that it was all about God's timing, not mine. He had a plan, and he had set up the entire playbook for me and how it was going to unfold. It just took 19 years to get there, because when my youngest was 3, Eric was 8. I was not capable of writing a book at that time. So I had the promptings from God. At that point, I had both of my daughters encouraging me. I had my family encouraging me. Friends who had, I'll write it for you if you'll just tell it. And it's like, I'm not going to do that. I had a deep desire to leave a legacy. I wanted to leave a legacy. We've heard that. Your book will be a legacy for you. People down through your family generations down the line are going to be like, oh my gosh, so-and-so wrote this book. They're my, you know, great aunt, or they're my grandmother or grandfather or whatever. So I had an editor, and then I needed an illustrator. So I have this thing about always wanting to make a difference. I say it in my job constantly. I always want to make a difference every day with my team, whether it's in something for them personally, if it's something with their job, helping them do something. I want to make a difference every day. One of the things I do is I also volunteer at the Ronald McDonald House to make meals. We do it once a quarter. I think y'all saw that in my bio. So I always want to make a difference. So in getting an illustrator, I wanted to make a difference. So my illustrator was a first-year college student out at UCF. She started in art and drawing and things as a junior in high school. So she was literally in her third year of having any type of art experience. She'd had 2 years in high school, her junior year and her senior year, under the leadership of an art teacher. But at that point, she really was in her first year of college, so she didn't have a whole lot of training. I met with her at a Starbucks. We sat across from each other, and I described in my head what I saw Missy to look like, my main character. And she just sketched. I had tears in my eyes and chills all over my body, because she got in my head and saw exactly. So God orchestrated all of that. I mean, everything, everything through the whole process. So now it was up to me. It was up to me to follow God's will and write that story. So here I stand before you today. I'm a published children's book author. And so by day, I'm a lending manager for a large bank, worldwide bank, the one with the blue, Chase. I never thought I was a writer. Never thought I was a writer. My book's titled Sweet Dreams, I Love You. The title came up because when my girls were babies, as I would tuck them in at night and put them to bed, the last thing I always said to them was, sweet dreams, I love you. Today, as you can ask Erica, she'll tell you, there's a text message that will go around a lot of times at bedtime, and it will either say, sweet dreams, I love you, or they've cut it down to S-D-I-L-Y. Sweet dreams, I love you. Mm-hmm. Yes, they still do that to me. So it's very common that to still hear that today. So you can clearly see God uses people just like you, just like me, to tell our story, to leave our legacy. And I never wrote that book for the money. It had never had a dollar sign on it to me. That never mattered, because I know when I was meeting with Jason, who was my bookseller at Zulon, and he said, how many books do you want to sell? And I'm like, nobody's going to buy my book, Jason. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care how many books I sell. It's published. It's cute. I like it. And that's the whole thing. That's all I really cared about, is leaving a legacy. And it's done extremely well. My goal, and this is just something me personally, I bought 250 books, and I said I would only sign the first 250 books. The books I have here are all I have left of my first 250 books. So when they're gone, I won't sign anymore. So I say that to you to say you have to have something special about your book, and that was special to me. I'm only signing the first 250. I'm not signing anything after that. I may break that rule for somebody, you know, somewhere down the line. So there was a song that Nicole Nordeman, I think, wrote, I Want to Leave a Legacy. I'm sure you've heard it. So I wanted to leave a legacy because I wanted to know how people remembered me. And I want them to remember me for things like this, for partnering with God to write a book and making a difference. So he aligned it all for me. It was a perfect plan. It was his timing, not mine. You can see clearly, if it had been my timing, it never would have happened. I would have been no. But he lined it all up, had that playbook. He unraveled everything for me, and it was in his timing, not mine. So what I did is I put that little handout together, really because I'm a person that has to like jot things down when it's fresh in my mind. So I thought that would be kind of fun for y'all to just use to like think through. So you can use it to jot down things as you begin your partnership with God to co-write your book. You know, things that are important to you, because what's important to me may be totally different from you in some of these promptings. So, you know, just take a couple minutes and just jot some stuff down. I think our time is probably, we've got about 3 minutes here until we need to move on. So, yes, absolutely. Oh, and I have to tell you all a funny story about this. So I showed this to Aaron, right? I said, I want to have a handout for this. And she's like, oh, that's a great idea, Mom. So I showed it to her, and I said, I want to put a border around it. And she goes, Mom, that is so 80s. Yeah. So anyway, so thank you all so much for being here today for this session. I hope you got something out of it. If nothing else, a little bit of my story, that I'm not a writer. That's not my day job. But I am a writer. And so are you. And if you have to be just open, you know, to listen to God, to see the promptings, to understand those promptings, and then it's up to you to follow through. So thank you all so much.